Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please?
Jim Dalton.
And Brody Dalton.
Okay. Tammy's on.
And Stephen is not present?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, well, let's get started. I always ask this question before we get started. What's on your mind?
Hold on 1 second. Jim just left to go grab Steve. But okay. What's on our mind? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
Well, something's on your mind.
Yeah, I guess they're eager to get into doing all of this.
Well, that's good.
I think we're all here now.
Okay. What do you know about Supernova, and where are you on this track?
Well, we know we've read the book, so this is our first call. We talked a little bit about the segmentation of the book, and we've done some work, you know, as far as that goes. But other than that, we're here to learn.
Okay, so you guys get it. I hope if you've read the book. I mean, did it say, you know, this is us and we need this right now, or where are you on the path of needing or not needing Supernova? Or do you think it's going to help, or a lot, or a little, or what's your?
Well, you know, I think we realize that our book is of the size, we looked at, you know, where our revenue comes as far as our book goes.
Yep.
So, you know, I think we'd like to provide our top clients with great service, and I think we would like to add new clients, new assets, and new revenue to that existing book.
Okay. Good. Well, let's go through some of the math in terms of you guys. You're one team, right? Working together.
That's correct.
And you work with separate clients. Or do you work together on clients, or how do you work?
A little of both. Some are separate, some are joint.
Okay. And how many clients do you have, and where are your revenues now?
Approximately 400 households. Not exactly sure how many individual accounts. 400 households. Our revenues are, right around $1.35 million.
Okay. Yep. And there's three of you together, you mean dividing, you know, you divide the 400 by three, right?
I wouldn't say they're divided by three. Of the 400 households, about 85% of our revenues comes from about 205 households.
Okay. All right. So
You manage about $217 million in assets.
Okay. And what percentage of your assets are in fee-based revenues?
Just shy of 50%, 46% I think it is. Is that correct? Yeah, in that neighborhood.
Good. And how about where are you in that path? Is this a something you've been doing all along or more recent in terms of fee-based revenues, or do you want to go to 100% or do you like the 50%?
I don't think we can get to 100%. It wouldn't be fair to certain households due to the fact that they're all fixed income or they're 96 years old, or I mean, there's no way we could get to 100%. So, if we could get to 70, I think that would be a viable goal.
But the majority of new business is.
Yeah, the majority of our new business is fee-based.
Okay. In terms of planning, what percentage of your clients have a financial plan?
I'm going to say somewhere between 40 and 50%.
And is that new or has that been going on for a long time?
Newer.
Yeah, relatively newer, last, couple of years.
Okay.
You know, when we do our reviews now, one of the things we talk to our clients about is a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be our GPS plan, which is a retirement plan, or our LifeView plan, which is a financial plan.
Okay.
So, it's one of the things that we talk to them about in the review. So we're trying to make, we're trying to increase that number, and we are increasing the number of plans.
Good. Okay. Where do you think your holes are in terms of your practice?
Well, at times I think we're all going on our merry way when it comes to what we're recommending to our clients as far as investments.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that we have a strategic plan when it comes to, we don't have a cookie cutter type. This belongs into model 1, model 2, model 3, model 4, model 5. You know, if you look at our client base, the client Steve works with, their portfolio would look different than my clients, would look different than Brody's clients. And I don't want to say Steve's, mine, Brody's, we all share, and we probably don't share enough when it comes to talking to each other about certain clients, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Okay. Okay, and how long have you guys all been in the business?
39, 37, and 8.
39, that's great.
It is?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You're so young. You look young.
Well, thank you.
That's pretty amazing.
62.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm 47. 47 years in the business. That's
wow.
Pretty cool.
That is, yeah.
So these guys tell me they're old and they want to slow down. They want to get out of the business. I'm like, you're a baby.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. It's still fun. It's a great business.
It is.
Okay. What are you concerned about when it comes to supernova?
Well, you know, we've been talking about, you know, breaking our book up into, you know, each of us getting 70 households.
Yep.
So one of my concerns, you know, I don't have a problem with, you know, 80 households, you know, touching four clients a day for 20 days, and in turn every month touching all 80 households. I do have some concern about, I have clients that aren't going to want to schedule a second of the month at 10 o'clock. You know, that maybe with certain clients that would work, but some, I don't think that's going to work for me. So, you know, and then, you know, so I look at it from the standpoint of if 205 households make up 85% of our gross business, and we each take 70, you know, and then and we have a prospecting list of 20, and we're touching base with those 80 clients and 20 prospects, you know, with the idea that we're going to bring in new clients, new households, you know, at a certain level. But, you know, that's my concern. That's one of my concerns.
Sounds like a good plan.
Well, but like I say, I'm not exactly sure, you know, as far as, you know, scheduling. I don't have a problem calling all 80 every month, having interaction with all 80, whether it be a review, a face-to-face, you know, whatever.
So, let me ask you a question. You're married?
Yeah. Married.
Does your wife get her hair done regularly?
She does.
Does she have an appointment for that?
Yes.
Would she be able to get her hair done if she didn't have an appointment?
No.
How important is that appointment to her every month?
Oh, it's important.
Right. Do you think we're less important than the hairdresser?
No, I don't.
Depends who you're talking
to. Right.
I expect the hairdresser to call her.
Right.
She's the client.
Yeah.
She gets the service.
Right. The hairdresser will never call her. Okay. Neither will your CPA or your attorney or your dentist or your doctor, but they all expect you to be on time for your appointments, and they expect you to go into their office, and they expect you to have an appointment on a schedule. So all we're doing is just aligning ourselves with other professionals in the community. It's our own impression of who we are that makes us reluctant to have appointments. It isn't the clients. They'll be fine with it. It's us. And we've always kind of winged it and always been very casual about everything. And for us to get all organized now and have regular appointments, it's a little bit disrupting for us, and therefore we think it's going to be disrupting for the clients. But in reality, it's a respectful thing. When you tell the client that I'm going to call you whenever I feel like it, and I expect you to be around, and if you're not, then we'll play phone tag for 4 or 5 days until I get you. I mean, it's really a lack of respect when you think about it. I mean, what are they supposed to do? Get out of surgery? Get off the golf course when you call? How do they know if it's important or not important? They have no idea what you're going to talk to them about, but you expect them to be there. So it's kind of a crazy system we have now. And so all I ask is that you give it a chance and let the clients tell you no. But if your mind is made up that they're not going to like it, they're not going to like it. But if you make up your mind they're going to like it, they'll like it. You know that, right? They'll do whatever you want.
Well, I mean, we're willing to give it a shot. We're willing to give it a shot, or we wouldn't be here, you know, on this call today. But that you asked me if that what you know what was one of my concerns. That's one of them.
No, and that's about as normal as any concern. And I share that answer with you because that's my job, right? But what I found is that particularly for the staff, having been organized is so much better for them. Because their product, you know, it's not just your productivity we're looking to improve here. It's the whole team's. And so what you'll find is that the team productivity will go up because you're organized now. And there will be less disruptions and less phone tag and less people walking in with surprise meetings and things like that. But anyway, so I will have, you know, I will have hopefully good answers for you to share with your clients when they push back. But the first people to be sold on Supernova are you guys. Now, there's a five-step process in buying anything that we buy. And so what you're doing now is you're going through a process of kind of learning to either, you know, to like Supernova or to believe in it and then maybe someday be enthusiastic about it. Your clients will go through the same process, so you just have to understand how their mind works. The five steps of buying anything or becoming enthusiastic about anything are curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. So just to go over that again, curiosity, you're curious enough to listen to the Supernova story. You had an interest enough to pick up the book and listen to the conference call and sounded good. Okay, curiosity, interest, knowledge. You talked about it with other people. You became more knowledgeable, and you're becoming more knowledgeable now. Signed up for the coaching. Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief. Once you start to interact with your clients and they give you some positive feedback, that's when you start to become a believer. And then once you start to get some introductions and people are become very enthusiastic about it, that's when you'll become enthusiastic. And when you're enthusiastic, there's nothing that, you know, that's when everybody will buy whatever you're selling. And so just understand that when you introduce this to clients, they say, well, should I send a letter? Should I call them? Or how should I do it? I said, do all the above. You want to talk to them about it about four or five times because they will be going through the same process. Why are we doing this? What, you know, da, da, da. You also want to have a very clear pitch as to what you're going to say about what you're doing. The more important it is to you, the more important it will be to them. I've heard people say, well, we've got this service enhancement we're going to do. Well, that's not very important. Other people make it, you know, really go by the speech that I kind of give you. And then the clients go, wow, this is terrific. So how you present it to them, really important. So just to give you that quickly. The idea in Xerox Selling Skills, I don't know, Jim, if you remember that, but
yep.
I went through that. The beginning of it was establishing the rationale for the call and then transition, the different transitions you had. So establishing the rationale for the call. The idea is why am I calling you? What is this about? Well, what you would say was, you know, we've been very blessed over the years to have a very successful practice. With any successful business, there are some growing pains. And one of our growing pains has frankly been that we've had too many clients, and we feel like at this point we needed to make sure that we were delivering a consistent client experience. We hired a consultant that came in and analyzed our practice, and what we've determined is the following, that we're going to give each and every client multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them will be in person, and then we've established a rapid response team that will give you 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution to any and all problems. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Yeah. What they'll say is, that's amazing, or that sounds good. How are you going to be able to do that? And we say, because we've limited ourselves to less than 100 clients each. And then they'll hold their breath, and they say, you know, am I one of them? And you simply say, yes, of course you are. You've been one of our best clients all along. And then they'll say, how much more is this going to cost? And you say, it's part of the service fee that we charge you every year, but we are going to insist that we do a financial plan and so forth. And then for the ones that you're not going to be keeping, you simply say, you know, unfortunately, our minimum charge is going to be more than you're paying now. And therefore, we are going to assign you to one of our business associates who's been in the business a long time. He's a terrific person. I know you're going to love him. And I told him to treat you like family. And he'll be in touch with you this week. And they'll say, what is that minimum fee? And that's what you're going to tell me today. They either have the money outside or they don't. And one of the things that, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with concierge practices today in the medical community, they typically charge somewhere between $2,500, $5,000, $10,000. I've heard as high as $20,000. To have a concierge physician, they'll have 100 to 200 patients. And and I always ask FAs, do you think if you wanted to be a patient and their minimum fee was $7,500 and you said, well, I'd like to pay you $2,500, you know, what would they say?
It's $75.
That's exactly right. I'd love you. You know, I'd love you as a patient, but the fee is $7,500. And they'd say, okay, when you get it, you know, when I get it, I'll be back. Or whatever. So the idea is that we're the biggest obstacle to having minimums. And other people do it, and the public understands it, and they're willing to pay it or not pay it. So you'll get 2 reactions. One is, thank you, I've really enjoyed this, and I'll be happy to talk to the other person. The other is, you know, I've got this other money over at Fidelity I've never told you about. If I bring that over, will I meet the minimums? And the answer is yes or no. So you'll see some consolidation and some increase in revenues because of Supernova. You can also raise your fees. If your fees have been too low compared to the market, then you can raise them to the market or above it, because you're going to be delivering a better client experience, just like the concierge position. So that is up to you. We also will in the team organization piece of Supernova, we will teach you guys how to get organized as a team. And one of you will be in charge of the investment process, and we should have an investment process that is consistent. Just because it's going to raise your performance scores. I mean, you will do better if you have a consistent process. And, you know, you guys will elect someone in charge of the investment process, and you can obviously all give your input, but the idea is that person would be in charge of maintaining the integrity of your investment process, just as one of you will be in charge of maintaining the integrity of Supernova process in terms of service. So, and those secondary or primary jobs that you have are as important as your financial advisor job. And I hope you take it that seriously. And then you will maintain this continued productivity lift if you take those jobs seriously. Because everything, you know, everything works better when you're organized, delegate, and specialize. Just like in any law practice or medical practice or anything, specialization is the key to improving the client experience and increasing productivity. So anyway, so it sounds like we have some opportunities to be of service to you guys and help. So the first thing we have to do is establish our absolute minimum and our target minimum. I like your idea of having 80 clients each and 20 prospects. That's beautiful. You can do the math right now for me. You've got 400 households, 1.35 million. The average household is how much in terms of revenues and assets?
I don't honestly know.
An average.
The average, what the average is. If you take 85% of 1.35, what's that?
1.14.
And divide that by 205 households.
5,597.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
you're 5,597 gross per household.
Okay. And so
that's whacking out the bottom 15%.
Yeah, that's fair, though. So your average assets then would be close to 500,000, right? So that would be your absolute minimum. And then take 20% of the 210 households, which would be 40 households. Those 40 households generate how much in fees and assets?
The top 40?
40, yeah. That's your 20%, right?
I don't know what the top 40 would be.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that right now. I'm just doing the back of the envelope, but this is basically your homework. So the idea, guys, would be do this, all right? You take the top 40 households and you duplicate them for the next 3 years, all right?
Okay.
That would give you 120 new households. That would pretty much double your business. So that's how we double our business. We duplicate the top 20% of your practice for 3 years. That should get you to double your assets and double your revenue. So we're not going to prospect since we don't want more households, right? So when we bring in 120 households, we're going to remove 120 households. So the idea is that we don't ever have more households, we just have bigger households. So the game is, if we brought in people that look like our average, we wouldn't be growing fast enough. So we want to bring in people that look like the top 20%.
Okay.
Only makes sense, right? Because we don't want to work any harder. We'll work harder for a while. The idea is that we work more focused. So the point is we may work more focused, but we're not going to work longer hours. And we should be able to double our business and then double it again and never put in any more hours. So it's not like we want to have 1,000 accounts. We don't. We just want to have the same number, let's say 200 households. But we want them to be a better and better and better 200. Now, you know, at some point you might hire another person to take some of those households, or you can keep reassigning them. If there's a cost to bringing in staff of time and money and energy, maybe you just want to keep it simple.
Okay.
All right. So that's the homework. Then we're going to look at those 200 households and determine where they came from. So look at your 80, you know, and determine where they came from, what they have in common, if there's any niches, you know, did you get them from cold calling or did you get them from prospecting a particular niche or, you know, that will help me to and guide me to help you become more effective at bringing in new business. We'll do that
okay.
at the same time.
Okay.
And then we'll work on centers of influence and, you know, determining while you're going through those clients, look to see if any of them are existing centers of influence.
So
mark them down.
Centers of influence.
Yeah. Have they been good at sending you introductions that have developed into attractive clients?
Okay.
Well, that's your homework. See, again, the routine is this, and I recommend this. Sit for a few minutes after this call. You can pretty much get all the homework done in 15 minutes. Look, you know, whatever we talked about, get that done. And then meet during the week to see how you're doing in terms of going through the 80 households. And then 15 minutes before the call, make sure, you know, everybody's there. They've done their homework. That, you know, what questions do they have? And then have they watched the video? You can watch the video together or you can watch it separately, but you want to make sure everybody has read the assignment, read the homework, done the homework, watch the video, so they're ready for the next call. And what the best way for this to go is for you to have really developed a series of questions. Okay? So if you have a bunch of questions for me, then that's the maximum best use of our time.
Okay. Now, does that watch the video, read the homework, does that come in an email?
Yeah, you got an email. You'll get an email right after this call with the homework, and you can just click on that, and that'll take you right to the video. You have been sent a PDF with the workbook, so go ahead and print out the workbook. And each one of you should have your own workbook.
Okay. Does that come in the email too?
Yep.
All right.
Should have gotten that already. And then make sure that you have your sales assistants on this call.
They are.
Okay, good. They're going to be involved with, you know, getting in touch with Cindy Bowie about the scheduler, how to use it, how do you drop clients in, et cetera. So that we take care of right away.
All right.
Terrific. Okay. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.